Welcome, everyone. Today, today we're going to be talking about living by faith, a life of faith. And we're going to go over, I think it's a rather popular story about the disciples and Jesus in a boat and a storm. But before we get to that, I'd like to talk a little bit about just about a life of faith. You know, Christian life is a life where faith is what brings us to believe Jesus is real. It's really interesting if you ask, you know, a Christian, have you ever seen Jesus with your eyes? And they would say, no, no. I met one guy, you know, one time, and I was like, have you ever seen Jesus? And he's like, yep, I met him in Florida in 94. I shook his hand. I was like, you're a little bit weird. I don't know who that guy was, but that was not Jesus Christ. Never seen Jesus with your eyes. And if you ask a Christian, have you ever had scientific proof beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is God and He's the creator of the universe, He's our Savior, He accomplished redemption? A Christian would have to say, you know, I haven't had that. But He's very real to me. And for some reason, Christians follow Jesus. They do crazy things. Dove, can you stand up? Have you ever seen Jesus? Like, with your eyes, physically, shook his hand? No. Dove, if I were to ask you, can you scientifically prove God exists and Jesus is God? Can you do that? No. Dove, do you follow Jesus? Yes. Have you ever given anything up for Jesus? Yes. Do you love Him?
Yes.
You're crazy. You're crazy. Why are you all here in this un-air-conditioned room? Listening to something about Jesus. You could be at Starbucks. In the AC. Why do you give up things? Somehow, a Christian just has this experience. The Lord appeared to me. And just like Abraham, when the Lord appeared to Abraham, he left his people, he left his setting in Ur of the Chaldees, and he went off to a new life, and he had no idea where he was going. And that is a Christian life. That's a Christian life. Somehow it works. It's almost impossible. I don't understand. To have a young man follow Jesus, I think, is the most impossible thing. But it happens in story after story. Have a family follow Jesus, most impossible thing. But it happens. He appears to us. And what is that? F-A-I-T-H, faith. Somehow, you hear about Jesus. And 99 people can hear about Jesus. And there's no effect. And that one person hears about Jesus. And it's like, I just want to give my life to Him. I want to give my life to Him. I married somebody. My first time I married somebody yesterday. No, I mean, not. Let me. I didn't marry. I married Rose. This is my wife. I officiated at a wedding ceremony for the first time last Saturday. And then Rose asked me, like, did you get paid? Can I ask you, did they pay you for this? And I was like, no, I don't want any money. I don't need money for that kind of stuff. You know what I demand? I demand that they would give their whole life to Jesus. I want all their money, all their time, all their heart. I want their house, their car, their careers, their everything that would be poured out on the Lord Jesus. Then I'll marry you. I mean, I won't marry, whatever, you know. I'll officiate at your wedding. All you have to do, yeah, you don't have to pay me anything. You just give your whole life to Jesus and I'll be there. That's what faith does. Faith causes that in people. There's an interesting story here. And it's about faith. It's about the disciples and faith. And it's really fascinating. It's like the disciples and Jesus were there in Capernaum. And Jesus had just given a lot of parables. He spoke a lot. And he probably had a pretty eventful day. He spoke parables to crowds. And then he took his disciples aside and explained them. And then he spoke more and he taught more. Evening was falling. And then he told his disciples, hey, let's get in a boat. Let's get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. This is evening. The disciples went with him. And you ask, why did they go into that boat? It's very interesting why they got into that boat. And if you look at what happened with Jesus on the other side of the, you know, other side of the lake, and when he came back, you'll realize why they went into that boat. On the other side of the lake, they met a man possessed by a legion of demons. A legion of demons. And he was naked, he couldn't keep clothes on, he cut himself, and he was hitting himself on the rocks, and he lived among the tombs in the graveyard. And Jesus had his interaction with that man, and the man said, what do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? And Jesus cast out the demons and sent them into a herd of hogs. And the man wanted to follow Jesus afterwards. You know, he was sane, he was clothed, there was power. We'll get into this next week. And Jesus said, no, don't follow me. Go back, tell your people what happened. And then you know what Jesus did in that boat? He got back into the boat and came back to town. So you would ask, okay, just looking at that, why do you think they got into the boat? It wasn't to go somewhere. It wasn't to travel somewhere. They got into that boat to meet that one man. To meet that one man. Because, you know, it's simple. If I drive a car to the west side, give you $20, then get back in my car and come back home, what did I go to the west side for? To give you $20. So this whole thing, you could say, when you look at Jesus' life, the whole thing happened for one person. One person. Sometimes I wonder, like, why does the church do all of this and you mobilize all these people? Why? That's just one person. And the Lord would say, and then you would say, well, okay, what book of the Bible did that man write who got the legion of demons cast out of him? No book. You'd ask, well, did that legion, that guy that got the legion cast out of him, did he become an apostle and go do great things? No record. No record. But it was worthy in Jesus' eyes. It was really worthy. So you get all these guys in a boat, and then this is the interesting thing about the boat. Okay, and they're going across, presumably just to meet this one man, to cast demons out of him. Sometimes I wonder, why do we put so much effort into the bookstore? Oh my goodness. Like, mobilize all this, all the whatever. Peter, maybe there's one. One crazy guy who got Jesus. And then we'd be like, Lord, where's the prophet in that? He's like, what do you mean? That's what I do. I just go across the lake and go back. Okay, let me tell you what might happen in your journey. Okay, this is what happened. They all got into the boat. These are professional fishermen. They've been fishing for years on this lake. And as they were sailing on the boat, try to sail there, Jesus took a cushion, like a couch cushion, and then he just went to the back of the boat, and he just fell asleep. Nice sailing. And then all of a sudden, this squall came up, a storm came up. And then the waves around the boat became very violent, and it was very windy. And, you know, if you look at Mark, you'll see him describe this. Mark, you know, relays this story also. And you could imagine the waves started to crash against the boat and get into the boat. And, you know what Jesus was doing? He was still asleep. And the waves continued to crash into the boat. And, you know, the disciples could think, wait a minute, who started this journey? Tell me the answer. Who started this journey? Whose idea was it? It was Jesus' idea to get in the boat. And who are the professional fishermen? It's the disciples. They're sailing this boat. And then the waves just crash into the boat up to the point where they feel like they are about to drown. So I can imagine, you know, if the boat is 3 feet high, you know, between the keel is at the bottom of the boat and the edge of the boat, then you could imagine that maybe that boat, maybe there's 6 inches left of, you know, between the bottom of the water in the bottom of the boat and the water in the waves. And the wind is still coming and the waves are still coming. And you know what Jesus is still doing? I think he's wet. But he's still asleep. And finally, these professional fishermen who have been through many, many voyages, many fishing expeditions, probably many storms, they hit the lifeline. And they say this. They woke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Now, I don't think there was just a few drops of water in the boat, because these were professional fishermen. They could handle a lot of things. Probably they might have tried bailing at this point. They might have tried, you know, turning the boat into the waves. They might have tried a lot of things to handle the storm. And finally, they went this, "Master, Master, we're going to drown. We're going to drown." In Matthew, they say, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." In Mark, they say, "Teacher, don't you care? We're perishing." Oh man, I would slap them in the face if they said that to me. "Don't you care?" Anyway, "Don't you care we're perishing?" Jesus gets up. And this little carpenter from Nazareth, Jesus, just gets up. And outside of what anyone has ever done, he says this to the wind and waves, "Hush, be quiet." And you know what? It was calm. Just a little hush. Be quiet. And then turn to the disciples. And he asks this little question. "Where is your faith? Where is your faith? The disciples' eyes were kind of open. They were really opened to, number one, I think they got some message about where their faith was. It might have been not in the boat. And number two, they got a little insight into exactly who this Jesus is. Who am I following? Who am I following? Well, the parallels to our life are amazing. And our expectations of what the Christian life is like, will be like, it's really exposed with this kind of picture. You know, the first thing is, you know, Jesus had an idea, and he wanted to take this boat on the way to help one person. And he just corrals his disciples, and everyone gets in the boat. And, you know, just like I was saying at the beginning, I think for a human being to follow Jesus today is almost impossible. Every time somebody follows Jesus, I just think, that is amazing. That's amazing. Peter, come here. This Peter. Here. Yeah. You're a young man.
I am.
Peter, your future is before you. And there are so many opportunities before you. And there are so many little investments that you can make to have a glorious, marvelous career. And there are so many fun things to do. There are parties. There are popularity. There's a lot of things that just make you popular. It's like, oh, I got Peter on my phone. Wow. Hey, this is Pete. Whoa. Yeah. There's a lot of things. And you just invest yourself in a little bit of that social scene. And it's kind of like really tasty. Mmm, that's good. That's really good. And you can do that. And then, you know, you don't make much money right now, right? But you know, just a few more years, and you'll be making, maybe, as a famous cello player, $10,000 a month. $10,000 a month. Wouldn't that be really good? Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. That'd
be pretty good. Yeah. And why? And then you'll have a nice family. Wonderful wife, 2.5 children, a little white picket fence out in front, not a weed in your lawn, in the suburbs, no riots, and you can have just like a comfortable life. Why would you follow the Lord and get on a boat with Him for one demon-possessed guy? Would you do that?
The Lord is glorious. That's all I can say.
Amen. The Lord is glorious. Praise the Lord. The Lord is glorious. And He'll capture you to get on. Thank you. For just one person. Oh my goodness. And as soon as you do that, there's this kind of thought. I gave myself to God. I should have a yellow brick road. At least a rosy lane. You know, and as soon as you get in that boat, you think, wow, I gave myself to the Lord. He's going to bless me. And at that point, you realize, you know what? In your own strength, in your own way, in your own, with your own reserve, it is impossible to follow Jesus. It's impossible. He just assures us of that. It's like, I give myself to the Lord. Okay, you can give yourself to the Lord very, very simply. Let me tell you, the easiest way that people give themselves to the Lord, according to my estimation, like when I meet people, is like, hey, I'll be there next Sunday. I was expecting somebody to be here the next Sunday. Just today. They told me, I'll be there next Sunday. I was like, yeah, praise the Lord. They're not here, so I can talk about them. And then you realize, you know, being there next Sunday is not that easy. I don't know. Maybe that person decided to be there, to go. And then they got in the boat, and then all of a sudden, the squall happens. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. I thought this was going to be great. No, you know what happened? A squall. And like, Lord, we're drowning. And then they don't know where to go, and they don't know where to turn, and they don't know. And then maybe they're sunk. I don't know. But, you know, there was no squall when they didn't give themselves to the Lord to go to the other side. Squall can be a lot of different things. It can be things within. You know, you put yourself with Jesus, and then all of a sudden, there's a lot of feelings inside that come up. Oh, a lot of considerations, a lot of anxieties inside anxieties, and a lot of thoughts start to attack and seem very reasonable, and the feelings and emotions seem to be so strong, and self-confidence goes away, and all of these other things go away, and you're like, wow, I just wanted to follow the Lord, and then think all of these things happen. You start to follow the Lord. You have problems with your health. Challenges. You start to follow the Lord. And then the husband says, honey, we're going. And then so many things happen in the family. So many things happen. Oh, this is so normal. So normal. And you're realize, oh, there's this kind of sea that we're on. We're trying to follow the Lord, but there's a sea that we're on. And it's very unstable. It could be the sea of my feelings, the sea of finances. I finally give my finances to the Lord, and then all of a sudden, all these challenges. All these challenges. Some people liken this. You know, one person who has been through World War II, he likens the boat and the sea to the nations. The sea is the raging nations. And he was in London in World War II, and, you know, German rockets were, you know, being, falling, and German bombs were falling on London. And he says, you know, these nations are not stable at all. Not stable at all. And we live in America. We've been this kind of, coasting kind of feeling of like, oh, yeah, this nation will be here forever. No, it might not be. If it's like all the kingdoms that have gone before, it will eventually go down. And maybe there'll be a lot more suffering, a lot more things, a lot more challenges, a lot more of a stormy sea. And then you soon realize, you know, the whole world is a lie. And you're, Rex, you're just so narrow, so whatever. No, the whole world is built on a lie. Your feelings. So many times, those feelings are a lie. Your finances, so many times, finances are based on that. And you realize, what is the solid thing in my life? It is that little man, that little carpenter from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. Everything else is this stormy sea. You start to follow the Lord, and your family rises up. No way. You start to follow the Lord, and then you get a very, very attractive business proposition. And all you have to do is work for 80 hours a week. All of these things. Well, you know, one time we thought, oh, serving the Lord, it should be easy. It should be easy. Well, one time Peter Elhart and I, we were preaching the gospel on Coventry, and that was the greatest time. Like, I really got a lot out of this one atheist, the conversation with the atheist. I still remember. We were talking. Remember that conversation, Peter? Yeah. She was an atheist, and I was like, okay, if you saw somebody resurrect from the dead, would you believe in Jesus then? I asked her. And she said this, you know, I don't think I believe in Jesus. I would say we don't really understand science yet. We don't really understand science. And then after that conversation, I was amazed at the power of the Word of God. You know why? Because you could show somebody who doesn't believe, oh, this dead person raised from the dead, and they might not believe. But you tell them a little word about Jesus, and you know what? There's faith in there, and they believe in Jesus. Isn't the Bible really powerful? Anyway, I was really impressed by this, and I was going back, driving through East Cleveland with Peter, and then there's a little back road that I go on, terrace, and there's a little stop sign. You know how they put those stop signs on, you know, to slow people down for the kids and stuff in those back neighborhoods? And I just kind of, like, rolled through it, and then I got a ticket. A ticket for $250. And I was like, Lord, I was coming back from preaching your gospel. What about a little slack? Lord's like, welcome to serving the Lord. But I still love preaching the gospel. We thought service should be easy, and then you just realize, oh, all kinds of things happen. All kinds of things happen. Well, while these things are happening, you think, where's the Lord? Why doesn't he just stop these things from happening? It's like he's asleep. Well, in this boat, he was asleep. He was asleep. The disciples, wake him up. Finally. And I was looking for commentators' opinions on, was it good to wake up the Lord or not? Because, you know, you wake up the Lord, and then he tells you, hey, where's your faith? And you don't wake up the Lord, and you just keep going through this whole thing. And I couldn't find commentators that said, I couldn't find any that come down on one side or the other. And I can't decide either, actually. So I was like, well, if you're in a storm, is it good to wake up the Lord or not good to wake up the Lord? Yeah, he was definitely asleep. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, yeah. The only thing we can say is, this is what happened. Right. You know, they woke up the Lord. And sometimes it's not bad. You wake up the Lord, you get rebuked for not having faith. What's so bad about that? You know, it's fine. They woke up the Lord. And the Lord said, hush! And he revealed something about himself to them. When I have this kind of experience, I am amazed at the Jesus I follow. I'm amazed. Let me tell you one example. One time there was a financial need for the church. Financial need for the church. And I was just like, whoa, where is this going to happen? And I just got this letter in the mail from somebody who wasn't even part of the church. And there was a check in that letter. The very same day that I realized that we have this financial need. The very same day. And that check was for, well, it was $60 more than the lowest amount that we thought we might need. And when I said that, when I saw that, I was just amazed. Oh my goodness. When that brother was writing that check, I didn't even know that there was this financial need for the church. And that letter took a few days to get there. And then just the day I found out that need, I open it. And then I just felt like, oh my goodness, he can calm the wind and the waves. And then you ask, well, why doesn't he just keep the wind and waves away all the time? You know, he could go that way too. And let me just tell you, he doesn't. He doesn't. But there are these little windows where you just realize, oh my goodness, what kind of a Lord do we have? And you realize, wow, if he would want to, he could make our situation totally different. And there's an appreciation. Lord, thank you for this situation. I think it is arranged in the best way. You didn't make any mistakes. You didn't have any kind of T's that were not crossed, I's that were not dotted in my whole life. It's the best for me to know you. And then you just get rebuked. Where's your faith? It's like, yeah, yeah, Lord. Oh, I need it. Yeah. But I'm following you, and I am amazed at who you are. Well, this is the kind of Lord we have. It's the kind of Lord we have. And you ask, how can I increase my faith? And I'll just say, you know, just a few minutes because time. But, you know, there's this way for faith to be developed. And I would say that if you are not continually in this way of faith being developed, it kind of gets rusty. It kind of gets a little rusty. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. It's kind of like, you know, faith will make you decide to serve the Lord, to inconvenience yourself, to follow the Lord, to give Him things. And you don't even see those things, but faith makes you consider that a real thing in my life. And the Bible just mentions two things. I just want to go through these two verses of where faith comes from. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message or hearing the word. And the word heard. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes through hearing. And hearing through the word about Christ. You know how to strengthen your faith. How to have more faith. You have more word. More word. More word. Something happens. Right now, we're reading the word. You know what's happening? Faith is coming. Right now. Right now. You know, you spend time with the word alone. Faith comes. You spend time with the word with a group of people. Faith comes. You want to see how do you have faith? It's really about the word. Faith comes from the word. The hardest thing to do is to say this. I'm going to try to believe that. It's really hard. It's almost like positive thinking. I know this one guy. He had a bad product. A really bad product. Really bad product. He was trying to sell it. And instead of thinking about how to improve his product, or taking any kind of external suggestions about the product, he began to think positively about it. And you know what? It didn't work. The product is still bad. Try to believe in yourself. It just doesn't work. The product is still not that good. But faith has a source. It's not you. Faith source is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And that Word just does its work. And then all of a sudden, you believe in Jesus. You love Jesus. You want to grow in Jesus. Why? The Word put faith inside of you. The worst thing is try to believe. I would like to learn just one thing from you, Paul says. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the believing what you heard? In Greek, it's the hearing of faith. You just hear something about the Lord day by day. You hear a little bit about the Lord. You think, not that exciting. Oatmeal again. We're going through the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord again. But you know what? Something gets in. Oh, we're going through this story. He fed 5,000. Read it before? Something gets in. Something gets in. What is that? That's faith. And you start to live a life of faith. And I just like to, I feel like there's something about this kind of person. Something about this kind of person that has been through this experience where the boat was drowning, the boat was sinking, they went to the Lord to get, you know, wake him up, he calmed, they learned, and then their faith was somehow questioned, strengthened, I don't know what, it's kind of like, you know, something about it. When that person says something about the Lord, there's something solid in that. It's a taste. Some experience. And you can have the best-hearted person in their own strength, in their own capacity, out of their own natural person, give the best thing they can give to the Lord. And it's still not the... It's so weak. So weak. So weak. So unreliable. But there's an experience of faith, a life of faith, that comes, that makes you very solid. When you follow the Lord, get in the boat, the storm comes, and there's a restfulness. Oh, Lord. I just know you. I was talking to a brother. I won't name him. He's in this room. He prayed. He was looking for healing. For years. Couldn't find it. Finally, the Lord just said, you know, I'm just, you know, in a sense, it's like, stop looking. I'm going to be with you. There's grace. And you know, there's something really solid about that kind of experience. Something really solid. You realize, you know, I'm in the boat. We could go through a lot of storms. And the Lord is there. We're not going to sink. Let's go. Let's get that demon-possessed guy. Let's go. We can move. Kelly says, this unbelieving anxiety for themselves. That's what the disciples had. Unbelieving anxiety for themselves. That's what blinded them. It blinded them. Otherwise, they're saying, no, the Lord said this. We're here. We may drown, but He's definitely not going to drown. Let's go. You know, and there's a life of faith like that. So, anyway, how about I'll stop there? Just have some prayer.